From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Reed McCollum, reading First Contact, Escape to 55 Cancri by Kenneth E. Engel. Now let's begin with the opening quote. First Contact, Escape to 55 Cancri. Cognitive dissonance. The mental torment that comes from being confronted by two fundamentally opposed propositions. First Prologue. Preview of Things to Come, circa 1942. The captain had moved his quarters directly behind the bridge shortly after the expedition cruise began. With a tendency to be impatient, he wanted immediate access to the nerve center of the ship. To waste time was more than slothfulness. It bordered on dereliction of duty. Commissioned a research vessel, the ship had participated in a number of distinguished finds, and the captain intended to add to that record. 700 meters long and a crew of 12, the vessel was an example of what a well-designed ship and superbly trained crew could accomplish. The captain did not suffer fools. He had personally selected all 12 crewmen. Each had graduated in their specialty at or near the top of their class. From propulsion engineer to cook, each crew member was required to know at least 2 disciplines. The captain's expectations were well known and never ignored. Aboard this ship, you provided information, the captain made decisions. The only vice he permitted himself was a pipe. Physical size made no difference. The shortest ever to graduate the military academy, he was the smallest at every officer's conference. But where he was concerned, size never equated to results. He excelled at martial arts. His small frame served him well in personal combat. He never lost a wrestling match at the academy. Academically, he graduated top of his class. Later, he was to serve as the academy director. His stint as head of the school, while marked by controversy, was acknowledged to be on a par with the school's founders. Now, he was realizing the second goal of his life. He had become an explorer. The cruise, entering its 8th month, was shorter than most. Frequent stops had made the trek one to be envied. Some had offered to go as unpaid collegiate auditors. But the captain selected as observers 2 ensigns who had shown particular skills for such an expedition, namely, fewer biases. 2 months earlier, out of visual range of the inhabitants, the ship had dispatched its spectators with orders to gather detailed data on what they saw. Now it was time to present their findings to the captain. The 2 junior officers, both up for promotion to lieutenant, junior grade, made their way to the bridge. The executive and science officers returned their salutes and accompanied them into the captain's quarters. Everyone knew the remainder of these young officers' careers would be determined by this meeting. "Good morning, Captain. The detail assigned to make the exploration reporting," the exec said. Despite the crew and ship being very small, adherence to naval etiquette was mandated and rigorously followed.
"At ease, gentlemen. Please be seated."
The captain motioned to the armless chairs fronting his desk. Protocol required the explorers speak only after the captain directed them to do so. The creases in their starched and pressed uniforms resisted their posture as they sat nervously waiting. In the next few minutes, their leader would judge everything they'd worked for over the last year. Indeed, their careers were at stake. The captain leaned on his desk, elbows taking very little weight, and slowly filled his pipe. He picked up a small tamper and teased the filling to his satisfaction. He studied the 2 junior officers for a moment.
"I trust your opportunity to unobtrusively observe went well and brought appropriate results."
The senior of the 2 ensigns said,
"Sir, we attempted to gather the facts as they presented themselves. Every effort was made not to cloud the data with our opinions."
Both young officers knew their job was to present facts, not opinions. First in their minds was the admonition of the ship's science officer.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?